This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. 60 minutes left on the big clock as we head to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. The Usual Suspects rolls on. We've been kicking around things you hate. Was that, what would you call him? Would you call him the Daily Questioner guy?
Yeah.
So the question of the day was, what one thing really annoys you that you would make illegal?
Yep.
Brandon had another one, a good one on Twitter. The guy that spits in the steam room in the gym. You ever had that?
No, because I don't usually sit in the steam room.
I don't either, but when I have gone in there, you know, you're supposed to take that cup of water and pour it on the hot coals. I have seen the dude that, I don't know if that's cool or that it's effective, but they literally, like, spit on the coals to get the steam going.
That's weird.
It's pretty nasty.
Somebody said, anyone that leaves a voicemail, get out. Yeah, AJ, like, one time I called AJ for something. He was like, bro, why are you calling me? I was like, because I didn't want to talk. I have a lot of words to say. No one calls anymore. Just, like, text me. I was like, what?
Like, he really said that?
Yeah, he was like he was upset that I called him instead of texting him a 1,000-word essay about what I had to tell him. I was like, no, I'm not texting you all that.
A lot of people really, they believe in all of that.
Yeah.
What you just said is like, that's just, they think that should be understood across the board.
I mean, I do like to text if it's quicker conversations, but this required quite a bit of discussion, and I wasn't prepared to type all that over text.
Yeah, I think so. If you're looking for a quick response, like, did you say you're coming over today or tomorrow, and then you don't have to, because you know, like with Barry Warner, hello is a 30-minute conversation that no one wants, so therefore you hope that Barry is technologically sound enough to carry on a text conversation so it doesn't go for a half hour. I mean, that's just
plus the text conversation is not going to go very long because the texts are like size font 3,242, so you can only get three words in to each text anyway
on his phone.
Yeah,
but I think the better thing than all that is he can't use your first name every three times per sentence and everything. Like if he was talking to you, Joel, what I'm trying to say, Joel is Joel, I don't have to hear all that. I just get a quick response and we're done.
I had no idea you can even enlarge the text font on your iPhone until I saw Barry's.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt bad. Carol Dawson, the longtime general manager of the Rockets, like I told you guys before, he's been struck by lightning twice. He only has sight really in one eye. But yeah, his screen was like two words per screen. I mean, you can blow that bad boy up a lot if you really want. It's just the way it is. Okay, so Lamont's been holding. He's got things he hates. Lamont, what's up?
Hey, man, I hate a whole bunch of stuff.
I bet you do,
this
Lamont.
This is not shocking, Lamont.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna warm you guys up with some stuff, but going back to the gym, the previous call, walking around the gym with the jug guy, he walks around with his tights with the water jug.
Yes,
I don't like screaming at the gym guy.
Oh,
You know he got his girl on a weight bench and stuff. Get it up, baby. You know he's screaming all loud. I don't like sweating on the
bench
equipment.
Yep,
the gym equipment, and not wiping it up. It's all sweaty. That guy can go to hell. Now, my other two, boy, especially during football season, man. Monday after a Texans game, I do not like getting on the elevator, going up to my suite, going up to my office. And someone is trying to talk to me. I just really don't even much do talk in the elevator. I hate small talk. Don't talk to me. We don't talk to each other, dude. We don't know each other. Another one, back on the elevator, when it's a whole bunch of dudes on the elevator, and it's a woman in the back, and you know, generally, man, you know, I'm the type, I let females get on the elevator first, and I let females, get off the elevator first. But the circus tricks that cats do to let women get off the elevator, man, it's crazy. And the last thing I hate, and I want to ban this from all women. After you done just got through arguing with your dude, and y'all done squashed the beef, and it's all over and stuff, please do not send me a 7,000-word essay in text, because the only thing I'm going to do is reply back and say, okay, and I'm out.
Those are good.
That was
that's
outstanding.
Good.
Yeah. Well done.
You know, the elevator one can be tricky because there's part of me that wants to let the woman get off first to be courteous and to be a gentleman. But then you're also just in the way. And I've always felt like if you're on the sides, then you just stay put. And right. if you're in the front of the doors, then you should get off, if you're, especially if she's behind you. Now, if there's just two of you or three of you on the elevator, that's different. But if it's packed and she's in the far back, then yeah, anyone that's in right in the immediate way of the doors and in her way should exit. But the guys on the side should stay put until she's off.
But the key is, even if you exit, then to show that you get it, stay by the side of the door and keep your arm in front of the door so it doesn't close, at least to look like you get it. Because there's so many guys that are so rude these days, because I'm with him in terms of the manners of letting them get on first and letting them get off first. But a lot of guys are just like, I'm in a hurry, or my headphones are on, so I don't, you know, try not to pay attention. And the other one at the gym, to go with what, because everything Lamont said was right, but the one that always gets me is the guy, the little guy, that has to try too much weight. And so, like, he'll get the 100-pound dumbbells, and he can't bench them completely, but when he's done, he drops them so that they make as much noise in the entire gym as possible, so everyone looks and sees that the little guy had the 100-pound dumbbells. Not that he was doing the work correctly or bench pressing them, just that he could make the most noise when he drops them. We have those guys at the gym all the time, and everybody's like, we know what you're doing.
A lot of thirsty dudes at the gym.
No question. Speaking of that, Clarence is here. He's had some time in the gym as well. I don't know if you carry your water jug, Clarence, but you're going to let us know things you hate.
Oh, man. You know there's a lot of things I hate.
No doubt.
Number one.
Saints.
Oh. Falcons.
Oh. Ah. Oh, yeah. I could have seen that
anything
coming.
Anything Atlanta, anything Falcons. Two. And this is my main pet peeve. One of the main pet peeves, because I just saw it not even 2 minutes ago while I was on those. Women who don't wear a bra and expect you not to look.
That's
you're
a good one.
You're walk around with your nipples on full attention and you expect me not to look? That's like me walking around with sweatpants and I expect you not to look.
Clarence, I'm not looking. I don't care. I don't care what you're trying. I know you're trying to bait everybody in by doing that, but no.
If you're walking away, Nick might get a ball shot in. But
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with you on that, but that's also, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you got to be careful, because it's one of those things where a girl's like, well, I have a right to wear or not wear what I want, and you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be ogling.
And you do have a right to wear and wear what you want.
Reality is, the reality is guys are going to look if you don't wear a bra. That's the reality of the situation.
Nah, I'm just saying, you expect me not to look, and then you're going to cover up because I do take a peek. Where brought in.
Good stuff, man. Anything else?
Yeah, the last thing I hate is, and this is work related, when I cook the food and I serve the food, you come up and ask me, which one would you like?
Well, do what now?
Wait a minute, I'm not following.
Yeah. So, like, you.
No, okay. Imagine I'm in the line serving you, and you come up to me and ask me, okay, well, which one would you like? Which one would you recommend?
Oh.
It doesn't matter what I recommend. You're going to either like or not like what I give you.
That's true. Yeah. So I see what you're saying, where he makes a couple of different options, and then people are like, well, which one should I eat? And it's like, you eat whatever you want. Our tastes are different. Yeah, I get that, dude.
For sure.
I get that.
They're your masterpieces. You cooked them both. So I get it.
Yeah.
All right, Manny, we see you. Hang in there. Not that we have to talk about this one, but something we've already talked about. We've already talked about in the NBA how all the power has moved to the West. Coincidence or not, the NBA has dropped the East-West format for All-Star games. They're just going to take the top 10 highest voted players.
And then the captains get to pick, right?
Yeah.
They're going to select captain, or is it the highest two vote-getters are captains?
I don't know. I don't know if that's been specified. But, yeah, the two captains will draft players. So it's kind of like what the Pro Bowl got to be in the NFL.
Right.
When they tried to save it.
Yeah.
Does this mean that the All-Star game is going to be short-lived?
I mean, I've always liked the East-West.
Look, the All-Star game, like it. At least there's a ton of scoring and a lot of guys trying to show out where it's fun to watch sometimes. But, man, I think this is more to the point that the Board of Governors and the Competition Committee realized there's not a whole lot of talent in the East with the exception of two to three teams.
I mean, the NBA All-Star Game is kind of a joke anyways, right?
I think they all are.
Yeah. Not all baseball, right. But...
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll continue to roll on. We still have calls lining up with what people hate, so we'll get that. And elevator etiquette has now been introduced as a subtopic. But we'll continue to roll on. If there's something on your mind, please join us, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, heading to the bottom of the hour where Ben Ryder is going to join us from Sports Illustrated. He's their senior writer and a baseball expert, so we'll talk a little baseball, getting ready for the playoffs starting tonight with the wild card matchup between the Yankees and the Twins, and of course what everybody wants to talk about, the Astros and the Red Sox in the divisional series. We also had opened up a can of worms throughout the show with the what things do you hate that you would make illegal?
Yeah, I got a couple of texts before we get to the calls. Somebody said Subway multi-orders, Barry, come on.
That was one of yours.
Yeah, that was one of my original go-to-hells. Yep. Yeah, and a couple of people actually texted in the limits. Aaron texted in, wait, Lamont works?
Wow.
That's the same thing I thought. Wait, what? I thought listening to the radio was his job. I hate women who wear yoga pants and get mad when I get mesmerized by that ass. Okay, I can't say I don't.
Can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. When your girl says she doesn't want any of your food, but then when you order it, she asks for a bite. Oh!
Yeah.
I'm with you there. That is one of the cardinal sins in our house. Don't touch my food.
It's like that new Sonic commercial when they get the free nuggets and he reaches over and grabs one of the other guys. It's like, yes. Come on, man. Don't do that.
Yep. Yep. That's
quite simply, you just don't do it. All right. We want to get some of these calls in here real quick because, of course, at the bottom of the hour, we've got an interview coming up. So let's roll through them. Manny, you want to talk about some things you hate? What's up?
What's up, y'all? Man, I love the show. So there's a couple things I hate. I hate the guy in the gym with the skinny legs, but he wears a tank top. You know, bro, I just scoop you, you know. I hate the Blitz. I just love that show. AJ is a prick. One thing I hate the most, man, is the people that meal prep and they bring it to work and they try to talk down on all your food, but they got a big belly. And I hate the big belly guy in the gym, man. Like, he think he's strong, but if I was that fat, bro, I would be strong too, man.
Man, he's got some issues.
But he brought it.
I like the food prep thing because that is true. Where you'll have like, because I've had people do that where I've been in my diet and I've been pretty strict, and it never fails that some big guy will be like, "What you eating all that for?" So I don't look like your fat ass. That's why. Like, I don't want to be, like, just disgusting. That's why I meal prep.
Would you have a problem if I touched your lettuce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we know the answer to that question.
Yes, indeed we do. Tyler, you want to get in here on things you hate? What's up?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. You know what really grinds my gears? First, let me touch on elevator etiquette. The people who try to get on the elevator before you get off.
Yep.
I will stand big time. There and just stop and look at you and say, excuse me, what are you trying to do here?
Whenever somebody does that, I always like to do something like, oh, wow, gosh. I mean, don't let me get in your way. I'll say something smart just to be a jerk about it. They need to know. That's rude.
Exactly. What's the worst? And then on the road, get out of the left lane if someone comes up behind you. I don't care how fast or slow you want to get in the left lane, but the left lane is meant to pass people. Just get out of the way.
Amen.
While on the topic of on the road, when you got semi-heavy traffic and an ambulance comes, you know, up through traffic blaring their sirens and people are clearing out, the guys who will tailgate the ambulance just to cut in front of everybody else. Drive me nuts.
Had it happen today. Yep.
That's a great one. Nick, you should be ashamed of yourself. I know you do that, Sciarra.
Really a good
I
idea.
Know you do that.
Like you can really get through some traffic if you do that.
Also, I did that yesterday and it worked great.
And if you're allowed me one more, the guy called in saying that he hates people who don't like those who chew with your mouth open. Get out of here, dude. Were you raised in a barn? Have some common decency. I bet you That mouth breather who called in, that's the guy who doesn't get invited to dinner with people because they don't want to hear him smacking his lips.
I love it. They're fighting each other now. Yeah. I love it.
Now it's hey, become Family Feud time.
Good call, Tyler. I didn't hear the eating with the mouth open.
He was making fun of you saying he hates people who hates people that hate.
Oh, yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But he misheard it.
Okay.
But it's all good.
Yeah, that's all good. That was a good call, Tyler. And Tyler had some good ones.
No, he did. He did.
The rush hour traffic from Sugarland this morning. Two ambulances, and they go to use the HOV lane to get going, and everybody's getting out of their way. No less than five cars jumped right on the back of each of the ambulances to try and capitalize on that.
Effective. It's effective. It works.
Effective is one way to describe it.
Here's another good one. The guy goes, hey, watch this funny video, and the video is like 8 minutes long. That is great.
And Lauren Pope's another good one. Folks that stand too close to you in line, get out of your personal space. There's too many people that stand too close, period. I mean, appreciate personal space. Patrick, you want to get in here real quick on elevator talk? What's up?
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. Great show, great chemistry. On that elevator crap, though, and I hate everything, but there's some old-school deal where the man, and no puns, either gets on and off first. It goes way back, and of course, if it ain't being done now, I guess it went by the wayside, but there was a little school thing. I saw it, and I thought, what the... But thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Patrick. Yeah, man, you got to, you know, there's just some things that never go out of style. Being courteous and being a gentleman is one of them.
How many times have you talked about, and we've talked about, we still hold doors open. Car doors, you know, doors, period, when we're going in and out of the mall or the restaurants.
It has a lot to do with how you were taught and brought up. And for sure. Also, I think it's what's important to you. You know what I mean? Like, I still get pissed. I'll be somewhere, like I'll go pick up some food like from a restaurant, and I'm getting ready to drive off, and you'll see a couple coming out, and you'll see dude just get in his car, and his wife just walks around. I'm just like, that just, to me, that says something about what you think about your wife. That's just my personal my personal view on it. And I know not everybody opens the doors and whatnot, and that's fine, but I don't know. I respect my wife too much to not make that effort. It's not that hard.
See that, Nick? This could be the key to a lot of things for you in the future. Start holding doors open.
Yeah.
That's right.
That might help.
It might. You never know.
And stop accelerating when people are trying to walk across a crosswalk.
I wouldn't go that far.
You're still going to make them hood ornaments when you get a chance and give you the dirty look like what the...
Maybe.
Depends on how much of a hurry you're in, right?
Correct.
All right. Ben Ryder coming up next. Senior writer for Sports Illustrated covering some baseball. So you know between Barry and I, we've got enough love for baseball. We'll have plenty of questions lined up. If there are things you want to try and get in to ask Ben, you can give us a try on Twitter or on the text lines. But we're going to have Ben next. That should be a good segment. And then plenty more good stuff leading up to 4 o'clock before we turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Much more show right around the corner. 97.5 FM and The Usual Suspect.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That ball's into right field. Well struck. Going back, Mookie Betts. Looking up. This ball's gone. Correa has done it again. Opposite field home run, a two-run shot. The Astros lead 12-2.
Todd Callis, part of the AT&T Sportsnet coverage of your Houston Astros, who unfortunately are done for the year now as everything's turned over to the national broadcast. Speaking of national, how about Sports Illustrated senior writer Ben Ryder, who's going to join us right now. You can follow him. He's a great follow on Twitter, at Ben Ryder. And Ben is an expert on the field of baseball. We know that our hometown team is knee-deep in baseball. So, Ben, thanks for joining us and spending some time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Ben, my first question for you guys being at Sports Illustrated is everyone at Sports Illustrated kind of walking around with their chest out like, yeah, we told you guys the Astros were going to be this good this year.
Well, it's not that often since we're right about something like this. Especially not picking it 3 years in advance. I think it's been since 1999 since our preseason World Series pick actually won the thing. So, yeah, I guess we've got a little extra pep in our step. It's a big month for us for sure. You know, when we named them the 2017 champions on our cover back in 2014, it was more really to get people talking about what was then one of the worst teams in the league. We didn't actually, in our heart of hearts, expect it to happen. But here we are, man, 11 games away.
So does this mean that you it's a slam dunk? You've picked the Astros to win it all this year?
I did, for sure. There was actually some behind-the-scenes debate there because our official pick was the Dodgers this year. I was against it. I publicly went on the record saying I think we should stay with our pick. But, hey, man, if we get a Dodgers-Astros World Series, maybe that's a scenario in which we at Sports Illustrated can't lose.
Well, Ben, I'm looking at your Twitter, and I'm looking at your picks, and I got to say I am a bit surprised you have Arizona coming out of the National League. Give us your justification for this.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the dark horse. First of all, in these three-game series, especially at the start of the playoffs, really any team that's in them can win them, right? I mean, what, the underdog in any of these series has something like a 42% chance of winning at worst. It's baseball, after all. So, you know, I think, you know, you can't always go with the favorites. But I also think that Arizona is probably the most underrated team in this tournament. I mean, obviously, I think that is. I think them to make the World Series. But they didn't get a lot of attention this year due to the fact that they were overshadowed by the Dodgers in the National League West. As well, they should have been. The Dodgers really had a historic season. But this is a team that is loaded with legitimate superstars, from Zach Greinke to Paul Goldschmidt to the dude who's now quite possibly the best hitter in the world at the present moment, J.D. Martinez. It's a really good team. Maybe one weakness is Fernando Rodney at the back of the bullpen. But, look, I think they have as good a chance, if not better a chance, than anybody to do this.
Ben Ryder joining us, Sports Illustrated senior writer on baseball. Ben, let's turn it to what everybody is most concerned with now. It's the divisional series between the Red Sox and the Astros. A.J. Hinch already coming out saying Verlander's going to get the ball in game one. Red Sox still kind of being mum on who they're going to start. Is this going to be Verlander, Sale in game one, or is some of the rumors out there true that they may sit on Sale until game two, hoping that he's also available for game five?
I think it's going to be Verlander, Sale. I don't think you mess around with this thing too much, except if you're Terry Francona, right, who today named Trevor Bauer his game one starter over Corey Kluber, which is a bit of a surprise. But, yeah, I mean, I think especially if you're John Farrell, you got to go with your number one, and that's Sale. I think the big question in that series, especially for the Astros, or really both teams, is who's starting game four, right? If you're A.J. Hinch, do you go back to Verlander on short rest? Assuming you've thrown Brad Peacock in game three, do you go to Charlie Morton for game four? I guess it will depend on what the series score is. But, yeah, I think we're going to see a great matchup in game one, Verlander, Sale. You know, it is a great matchup on paper, but Sale has not been Chris Sale recently, whereas Justin Verlander has obviously been as good as he's ever been for Houston. Chris Sale kind of alternated one good start with one bad start. You know, you've got to be a bit worried if you're John Farrell, no matter how you order them right now.
I think Cleveland is the sexy pick right now in the American League, and you know, rightfully so. I mean, it's not like they ran away with it. They ended up only beating the Astros for the American League wins by one. But you have the Yankees moving on past the Indians to the ALCS. Give me the reason why.
You're really putting it to me on my pick here.
I'm curious.
I appreciate it. Look. I mean, the Yankees can match up with the Indians in every facet of the game, right? Yep. They really can. Luis Severino is a Cy Young contender, as is Corey Kluber. You got Sonny Gray there, he didn't have most of the season. This offense is just loaded top to bottom. And the real reason is the bullpen, right? You don't even need that much from your starter when you're throwing a bullpen out there with guys like David Robertson, Chad Green, Aroldis Chapman. This is really a team that nobody wants to see in the postseason. You know, I'm talking about the Yankees. And look, if we're looking at something like run differential for the course of the regular season, which I really look at, especially when you've got 162 games by which to judge it, the Yankees had the second highest run differential in the AL. They had a better run differential than the Astros, trailing the Indians by a bit. But, you know, this is a legitimately great team in a postseason football.
in looking at this Astros-Red Sox matchup, and the Astros in particular, because the fans here obviously have a lot to be concerned about in terms of they're worried about the Indians, they're worried about, you know, they want them to get to the... Give me the biggest strength and the biggest weakness for this team for what could go right for them and get them to the World Series and what they should be concerned about in evaluating the Astros.
This is the Astros?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the biggest strength is this offense. This is an unbelievable offense, top to bottom. They don't strike out. They score more runs than anybody else. You look at this thing when it's at full strength, and you wonder, how are you going to get anybody out? It's the type of offense that will just wear down opposing pitching staff. So I think really, you know, that's the strength. And the weakness is really who's going to be that swing guy in the rotation. You know, like obviously Brad Peacock has been incredible recently. You know, you look at his stats this year. He struck out 11 batters per nine innings. This is Brad Peacock we're talking about. You know, talking about one of those things that even the brain trust in Houston probably didn't anticipate. I don't think they anticipated Brad Peacock becoming that great. But after him, you know, will Charlie Morton be as good as he was? Will the middle innings guys be able to hold off these Red Sox young offense? I mean, that's the time of the game when things will get a little bit dicey for the Astros.
All right, Ben, a highly contested, highly debated topic around Major League Baseball and on Sports Talk Radio is the MVP in the American League. Is it Jose Altuve? Is it Aaron Judge? What say you?
It's very, very tight. Sorry to disappoint people down there, but I'm going to have to say Aaron Judge this year. I think that Altuve is a wonderful player. You know, I'm not one to say which guy had a bigger impact on his given team. I just think it's like which guy had a bigger impact on the league statistically. It's extremely close, but I do not have a vote, so people down in Houston can breathe easy about that. But I would vote for Aaron Judge this year.
And why is that? Is that because of the sexiness of the home runs and the big stats, or the fact that people don't get enough of Jose Altuve and see on a consistency basis what he does, the 200 hits in four straight seasons, you know, the batting title, all the different things that he does? Just break it down a little bit further as to so people can try and understand why people would vote against Jose Altuve.
Sure. I mean, and again, there's no wrong choice here. It's not knocking Jose Altuve, whatever. But I think it comes down to a few things. One, you look at, you know, OPS. Aaron Judge has an OPS that's 1,000 points higher than Jose Altuve. That's nothing to sneeze at. You look at something like WAR. You know, you can look at any of the advanced statistics you want, and you can find some arguments for one or the other. You know, Altuve's got a WAR of 8. Judge has a WAR of 7.8. That's about the same. These are two great players. I just think what Judge did to carry his team for a great portion of the year, and also the fact that in a game in which power has become what you want, he's got more of it than anybody in addition to his on-base skills. This gives him the slight edge for me. But look, this is one of those things that's just a matter of opinion. There's really no correct answer here.
What about National League Cy Young? I'm kind of interested to see how people are moving in that one. Who do you have?
I don't have a vote in this either, but I'd probably go Scherzer in this one. I mean, Clayton Kershaw missed a month and a half. If not for that, he's probably the answer every year. But in this case, I think you have to give it to Scherzer, given what he did over the body of the season. However, man, I mean, this is a guy who has a dinged up hamstring right now that he suffered in what's supposed to be a tune-up start. If you're the Nationals, the last thing you want to see is your limping ace.
Yep. Ben, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. We know you're busy. It's that time of the year. But thanks for dropping in, and don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back as this thing progresses towards the World Series.
Anytime. It's a big month for the Astros, big month for SI, so I'd love to talk to you guys.
There you have it, senior writer Ben Ryder of Sports Illustrated. You can follow him at Ben Ryder on Twitter. Back with one final segment before we turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. We are the Usual Suspects. This...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one final segment of another great show here on The Usual Suspects before we turn it over to the Blitz. And I would think that that last interview with Ben Ryder of Sports Illustrated got a few Astros fans just a bit fired up. I don't think that anybody was expecting that definitively to say Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP over Jose Altuve when most have been saying, including the ESPN crew, saying it's Jose Altuve. We had Dan Schulman on. Jess Mendoza said it on the air the other night. It's Jose Altuve. That one was one that might stifle some Astros fans.
Well, it shouldn't surprise you. He's a national writer. He's out of New York. And those guys love them some Yankees. I mean, that's what's good. But he was absolutely right in that you can make a case for either of them. It always comes down to, what do you find important and what is your definition of an MVP? What's your definition of valuable?
To the validity of your point, he also picked the Yankees to beat the Indians. So
yeah,
there is a little New York bias coming out of some of his picks.
Absolutely.
But from a Houston fan perspective, sorry, but have we not seen this with MVP voting before, though?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We just experienced that in the NBA. But I think how valuable are you if you lose a division lead? You get overtaken, and then you have to go in as a wild card. That's my question. And you have a team that, for the most part, held best record through a lot of injuries,
yeah,
missing most of their rotation. The glue in the lineup with Correa out, with Springer out, with everybody else out, the glue in that lineup was Altuve. Altuve never really – his slump was hitting 300. A guy that
there's
never
the key
slumped.
I was going to. The slump. Talk about Aaron Judge post All-Star game and how long that slump lasted.
And the Yankees losing the division lead corresponded with him going into a slump. So the Red Sox caught him. The Red Sox win the division. The Yankees now have to go and play a play-in game. How valuable was he if he just limped them into a wild card?
Yeah, Jose Altuve's slump is three games without a hit.
Yeah.
Not a month and a half of just absolutely plummeting strikeouts and no hits for a team that, like you said, at the time was in first place in the division, now is a wild card. Trevor, you want to get in here real quick on this discussion. What's up?
Yeah, guys. It just doesn't make sense to me how you can vote Judge. Yes, he's got a lot of power, and his OPS is good. And he did set the rookie record for home runs, blah, 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 you know. But when was the last time a pure power hitter won the MVP? I mean, Jose Bautista had two really, really good years in Toronto. Hit 52 home runs in 2010 and then 43 in 2011. And in 2011, he actually hit over 300, 302, but he hit over 300. And Justin Verlander won the MVP that year.
I mean, like, Donaldson hit 41 a couple years ago. I mean, you know.
But he also hit for average as well.
Yeah, he didn't
even
hit 300. So,
Trout?
Yeah. Yeah, but none of those guys. I mean, my first response was thinking back to Bonds, but even after that, I mean, Rodriguez was considered a power hitter, but he could also hit for average because he had 54 bombs the last time he won. But you're right.
They don't strike out a whole lot.
Yeah, you're
the players that get the ball in the field, you know. And Donaldson, to that argument, he was great on both sides of the ball. He was the MVP because he's a great third baseman, great fielder at third base, and he could hit the cover off the ball, plain and simple.
Appreciate the call, Trevor. Yeah, I mean, you do make a good point, but I would advise you don't sleep on Aaron Judge in the field. He's actually a decent defender. He's not. I don't think he's the top right fielder in the American League, but he's a decent defender. So don't sleep on his contributions there as well. For me, it always comes down to value over best. If you want to talk about the best player in baseball, it's neither one of these guys. It's Mike Trout. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. But value this year, I think there's none more valuable to their team in the American League than Jose Altuve.
You throw those three guys in a hopper and you say you want to pick them apart. Trout had injuries. He was injured for a good portion of the season, 6 to 8 weeks. Therefore, he misses that big portion of the season. So that, to me, factors him out because he was a non-factor while he was out. Same thing as we just got done saying about Aaron Judge. Yeah, he put up the home runs. Yeah, he put up, you know, the Yankees rookie home run mark. And he beat a guy like Babe Ruth. Okay, those are all fine and dandy. But where was he when the team, right out of the All-Star break, was in first place until the time when he finally started to pick it up again? He also set a record for strikeouts in consecutive games, and he put up big numbers for strikeouts for the season. So you can nitpick all you want, but consistency is a big thing, and Altuve was as consistent as any player, and he has been over the last 4 years.
Just like I think it's ridiculous that you would give the MVP to a guy that didn't even get his team a division win, is the same thing I feel about Joey Votto and Giancarlo Stanton. I think those two might be the two of the best players this year in the National League, but I don't think they were valuable because their team did nothing. Neither one of the teams, the Reds and the Marlins, were not that good. You've got guys like Arenado. You got guys like Charlie Blackmon. Charlie Blackmon hit the cover off the ball. He's a plus defender as well. He might end up second or third in the MVP voting, and it makes no sense to me. That's the NL MVP is Charlie Blackmon. But you got Goldschmidt. If you gave it to him, I wouldn't mind. But both of those teams were in the running for their division and surprised. I mean, you're talking worst to first in both cases.
Right. What did Judge hit for the end of the year?
He hit 280-something, okay. 284, so 287.
To the caller's question, I'm looking. Even guys like when Pujols hit 47 bombs, he hit 327. You know, when Bryce Harper 2 years ago, 42 bombs, but hit 330. Even when you had those big home run numbers, you had the average too. So Judge had the big home run numbers, but the average wasn't even over 300. In all these cases, when I'm looking at MVPs, Donaldson was the he 297, Trout 287 in 2014. But overall, I mean, I get it that those are the big sexy numbers. And again, the thing that factors in is this is big with you mentioned it with just one writer, and he doesn't even have a vote. But that's going to be a big thing. The New York market and the fact that it's a national big-time story because it's the New York market, that's going to sway votes. I'm afraid to say that, and I hope I'm wrong, because I don't think anybody should come close to deserving it as much as Jose Altuve, but I think it's going to be a closer race because of it.
Yeah. I was looking at advanced sabermetrics stats. This one is kind of ridiculous. But he even there's, you know, at bats per home run, Aaron Judge was hitting a home run one every 10 at bats is what he had.
That's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
What's Stanton? I mean, Stanton has to be
I just have the AL up. I can pull up the majors, but man, one every 10. Yeah,
is that best Stanton, in the American League?
Yeah. 10.4. One home run every 10.4 at bats. Stanton is one home run every 10.1 at bats. Gallo is third on that list. That probably surprises
that
some
should
people.
Surprise
Joey
people.
Gallo, Trout fourth, Cody Bellinger fifth. So to kind of give you an idea of the company that Judge is keeping,
yeah,
from a power perspective. But there's no denying his power.
No.
There's not. But again, I mean, I've made my case. It'll be interesting to see. I'm going to feel bad for Altuve because this may be his last chance to win it. Because honestly,
Trout's going to be there.
Trout will be healthy. Not only that, he's going to have competition from his own team.
Correa, everybody's talking about already as a front runner.
Yeah.
And then if Judge has another year. Now, let's not forget the fact that the first year for Aaron Judge was a struggle. Now, he found it, and he had a great overall season, but we know that there was those gaps. Right, like we said, post All-Star break. But it'll be interesting. But you're right. You really think, I mean, if he gets 200 hits again next year and does all the things that he did, that he could end up being not top four, five?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's going to struggle to win one. Mm-hmm. When you look at the season that he put together this year, and there's a guy, you know, a rookie like Judge that's giving him some competition. He's going to get some from his own guys in Correa and Springer. You're going to see, you know, Bregman's going to be a much better hitter, I think, next year as well. So just that alone is going to take away from some of his numbers. If you think about it, being able to drive guys in as part of it and scoring runs and all that. And if you don't have those opportunities, if everyone else is picking up those RBIs and those runs as well. So that combined with the fact that you got guys like Judge and everybody else, it's one of those things where you got young kids coming up, and yeah, you got guys on your own team that may be taken away from your votes.
Interesting you said George Springer. I mean, because we know that George Springer, this is like a career year for him. So you think that this is like him advancing to that next level where we're going to expect these kind of numbers from him?
Yeah, well, I think Springer's in his prime, but I also think that he can take away from Altuve's numbers.
Is
more of what along the lines of what I'm saying by
talking about that, from voting.
No. Hitting.
Okay.
Yeah. From a hitting perspective, I think when you start looking at what these guys can do when they're healthy,
mm-hmm,
it certainly can enhance Altuve in certain regards. But when other guys start picking up their RBIs and runs scored, that can certainly affect Altuve overall.
I think from a voting perspective, it does too. When you look at Cleveland, this
Correa
year,
would still votes from Altuve,
yeah,
for sure.
And I think that Cleveland having two guys in the MVP discussion this year kind of X'd both of them out.
Same thing so, with the, yeah.
It could happen to the Astros going forward. Yep. You're right. All right, it's a good point. All right, Barry, Nick, and myself will be back again tomorrow and the rest of the week. We're going to continue to roll on. We hope you join us every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on The Usual Suspects. Right now, I want to tell you about a great opportunity for Dynamo fans. If you're a Dynamo fan and you love soccer, the Dynamo are taking on Cruz Azul on Thursday, October the 5th in the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup at BBVA Compass Stadium. Stop by the following BBVA Compass branches between 3 and 5 p.m. this Wednesday, October the 4th, for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the match. You can stop by the BBVA Compass location in Sugarland, the one at 290 and Rose Hill, one in Atascocita, Buffalo Speedway, Medical Center, Champions, Sterling Ridge, and Kingwood. Wednesday, October 4th, between 3 and 5 p.m. is your chance to win tickets to the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup between the Dynamo and Cruz Azul. Good luck. Get over to one of your BBVA Compass locations and try and get those tickets. It should be a great match. BBVA Compass, creating opportunity. This is ESPN 97.5.